Yo, what is up, guys? Thank you so much for taking the time today to listen to this podcast, man. It means a lot. You know, a lot of time and energy goes into doing these. So just the fact of you taking the time today to listen to this means a lot. Before we get into this, I want to give you guys more of a heads up in exactly who and what this podcast is going to be about. Now, when I bring people on here and we try to get people on these podcasts, they're people that we actually personally know and we've gotten to know for a long time. And then, you know, maybe developed a friendship and a relationship through social media and we actually gotten to know each other. And now we want to give them that exposure that I feel that they deserve, such as Connor, which truly admire this guy. Like, he's awesome out there in Texas, very supportive in the community, tries to get people out and smash miles on their bike, which is fucking awesome. And that's what it's all about, man. You know, how boring is it just to keep your bike in the garage for the fucking entire year and then bring it out once or twice, you know, and that's it. You know, Connor's idea is to get as many people out there and help supporting them. And that's what we're all about as well. So we are going to hit some points in this podcast, more of like, you know, maybe how to implement on how you guys want to bring more rides into your community. You know, we go into depth on that. We talk about branding and how to personalize yourself out there. There's some good keynotes and points on this that I really want you guys to take home and listen in. And if you're listening to this in the month of May, Connor on his page, his Instagram handle, by the way, it's at ConnorFXDB. So you can check him out there. Also the HD Collective, you can check them out as well. But on Connor's page, if in the month of May you're listening to this right now, he's got a contest going on and seeing who can smash the most miles. So if you haven't already participated in that, because I believe this is going to be released on a Friday, which is after the date where all your pictures are due for your odometer. So what you're going to do is take a picture of your odometer, I believe the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd of May. And then after the 3rd, unfortunately, you're not going to qualify if you haven't participated by the time you listen to this. You know, so go check him out, man. He's always trying to do something out there to get people to ride more, which is, like I said, completely awesome and we support fully. Definitely check out his page, but I don't want to keep rambling on too much. I'm really excited to get into this podcast and have you guys listen up. If you can, please, at the end of this, just leave us a solid review, letting us know what you guys thought. You know, we put a lot of time and energy into doing these podcasts, and don't get us wrong, we love doing it, but we don't have any sponsorships. We're not getting paid to do this. We're doing this because we're trying to bring more of the, I guess, when you're looking and scrolling through social media and all you do is see a picture of someone, you kind of really don't get that personal side that you get to experience through this podcast. Is what we're trying to do is bring our friends, our family, our people that we support for companies out there, other entrepreneurs. We're trying to bring this more of as a community base, and that's the whole point behind this podcast. So we're not here to sell any shit. We're not trying to sell products. We're not trying to do any of that. This is strictly for the community, and that's what we're trying to do. So appreciate you guys taking the time again to listen to this. Don't forget to leave a review. If you have any questions, feel free to send us an email, rebelreaperclothing@hotmail.com. If you have any suggestions on what you want to do, I think the next time we're probably going to be doing a Q&A. So check out our posts on Instagram at rebelreaperclothing. Sometimes I post on there. Maybe if you guys want to throw in some Q&As, we'll go ahead and answer those for next time. So appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
What's up, dude?
Yo, there we are. Man, finally got it down, dude. Okay. All right. So we're recording now. Perfect. So for those wondering why that big is me and Kana here, we're doing actually a recording over the phone. So he's currently in Texas and I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona, but we figured out a way where we can still give you guys some solid content and have some communication back and forth through this podcast. So Connor, welcome. Appreciate you, dude.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for taking the time today to do this podcast with us. It's a fairly new podcast, as I'm sure you're aware. You've probably listened to a few episodes, yeah. But the reason why I wanted to have you on is you're a big influence in the community, and that's the point of this whole entire podcast, is trying to get people together, some more exposure out there, and kind of, you know, go a little bit in depth about who you are and what you're all about. So Yeah, man. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Not gonna lie to you, I feel pretty nervous. I feel like I'm like on stage, like, you know, trying to get the bugs out. But I'm excited, dude. I'm super stoked.
Yeah,
My bikes are down currently, so just kind of hanging around all day today, being productive, which is weird, but all right.
Nice, man. Sunday fun day. That's what it's about.
Exactly. Hell yeah.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, I was kind of nervous on our first podcast when we first did it. We had no idea what the hell we were doing, so we're just we kind of like to keep the podcast a little bit, you know, as a flow, just kind of as it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, questions right in front of me, I'll get to those here in a minute, but anyway, dude, so yeah, so let everyone know your Instagram handle, your social media. Do a quick little plug-in with that if you like, and then we'll get into the questions for you. So,
okay, for sure. But first, I guess let me go. It's weird because whenever I'm recording people, like if I'm doing a moto vlog, I'm fine. I could be like in public and I could be recording myself. People look all weird. But it's like when I'm on someone else's, it's like, dude, it's weird. It's like when photographers get in front of the camera, they just like they have to get used to it. But that's how I feel right now. It's like, all right, cool. So. Some people may know who I am. Some people don't. It happens a lot. I love it. It's your boy. It's Connor. You can find me on Instagram at ConnorFXDB, all one word, as well as the YouTube channel at ConnorFXDB. And then also, I guess one of the things I'm trying to get started right now is going to be that Connor kick. We were at Handbuilt Friday in Austin, which is a really awesome show. It's only the fifth year. Awesome turnout of local builders in the area. Some people came down from super far and wide. And it kind of started spreading on Instagram. Little people were sending me stories and tagging me in of the Connor kick, which is a photo, I think, when I first started riding. I don't know what I was doing, but I did it, and a lot of people liked it. And I did it like 5 or 6 times trying to get the photo, and I was so exhausted, but it's super funny. I love it when people try to do it, send me the photos. It's exciting. And I guess a quick little outro for that intro is I've only been riding. This is my third year of riding a total. Yeah, so but I love it. I'm hitting the ground running. Can't get enough miles. Every day riding is a good day to me.
Yeah. Actually, I've seen some people in your stories sending in the hashtag Connor kick, and I think that's pretty badass that people are out there doing that. So right on, dude. Well, like I said, good to have you here. I had some questions too. So obviously about the YouTube channel, I've watched a lot of your YouTube channels. I think they're very informative. You give a lot of solid reviews.
Yeah,
especially good, solid products out there. And it's honest feedback. It's like, you know, it's not biased. It's not towards any specific things. I remember specifically you were doing a review on, I think, the Lucky Daves and the Saddleman steeds. Right. So, so what was your opinion on those? Like, which one did you personally like better?
They're both great seats, honestly. But it was funny because at the time I thought they were two different companies. Well, they are, but Saddleman makes the Lucky Dave seat for Lucky Dave.
Oh, so right.
In essence, it's pretty much the same seat with just slightly different aesthetics and curvatures and stuff like that, ergonomics. But they're two completely different seats. I really love the Lucky Daves because, I mean, I crushed miles on it from right out the gate. It sat me a little bit farther forward, and I mean like a little bit, like half an inch at most. But you notice it when you first sit on it, but I love it. Then with the Saddleman, it was – you could really feel it locking you in, but I don't know what it was, if it's the drop back to where it sits you in with the higher back rest. But I felt like I was getting blue balls, dude. I don't know what it was, but like longer rides is like, man, this is a great seat, but I just, or maybe I had gotten used to the Lucky Daves, but you can't go wrong with either or. Just for the type of riding I do, I always recommend Lucky Daves, and they reupholstered it for me. It was a fluke random mishap that happened where the stitching was kind of coming undone. And they reached out to me. My buddy Brent, he was like, hey, let me reach out to Lucky Dave's. I see him at bike night. I was like, that's super solid of you. And then within the next day, Dave called me himself. He said, hey, that's really random. Do you wash it? Because he's kind of asking like the general questions, like if I washed it with a certain treatment or something. I said, no, it literally just soap and water. And he goes, okay, cool. We got you, dude. Just shoot us your seat and we'll take care of you. And sure enough, I think a week and a half, 2 weeks, the team over at Lucky Dave's got back to me. And I was like, hell yeah, dude.
Dude, that is awesome, man. That's customer service right there. That's really cool.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I really like, and I stand behind a lot of companies when the customer service is really there. Touching base on one big thing that people have been asking a lot lately is the fairings, because they see that I'm always riding, and with the Memphis shades, I had the quarter fairing at first. I liked it, but once I bumped over to the Road Warrior, I mean, you can't beat it. Once you have that taller windshield, you get spoiled, and people always ask me, you know, do you like Connellys or Memphis shades? I can't really speak too much on the Connollys, but the Memphis Shades that I have and the customer service experience I've had and everyone that has had it with get it and they say, hey, dude, I love this thing. You can't beat it. And plus, the price, you're about $480 with everything. The headlamp block, you got the whole brackets, the mounting hardware, and the fairing for about $480, $490. With the Connollys, you're around $600, $650 or something like that.
Right.
So you just can't beat it. And so I love the woodwork.
Do they paint it for you too and send it out to you? Or do you, is that just base price for regular?
For like unpainted? The Connollys?
Yeah.
I think that's the black. I don't know if painted, you'd have to do it yourself. So you may be looking at more than that.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, man, that's cool. That's exactly why I want to have you on this podcast, because I know exactly you've personally tested products yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And give that feedback back. And that's why actually it's pretty cool. So if you guys are ever looking for ideas on purchasing products, I definitely highly recommend you check out Connor's YouTube channel. You know, his stuff really goes in depth about that. And didn't you try the Biltwell? I think I got the Biltwell thruster grips because of your YouTube channel.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah,
sexy. Love them.
Both my Sportsters, actually. So they're actually really nice.
Yeah, the Sporty. I ordered them for the Sporty too.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. So that is your Sportster. So you have the Dyna and the Sportster.
Yeah, they're both down. The Dyna kind of shat the bed today. We're trying to figure out what it is. It could be a number of things. And the Sportster, I'm attempting my very first handlebar swap. I mean, like, I'm new to the game. And that's the one other thing that I think has really helped, I guess, familiarize myself and become more of a general name with, like, I guess, everyone and anyone, to where, you know, I don't act like I know everything, to where people can come ask me questions like, hey, what was your experience with this or that? And if I don't know anything, I'm like, honestly, I don't know, man. You know, let me go and find out for you. And that way I learn right. as well. And then sometimes when I take my bike to either one of the Harley dealerships, mostly Green, because they take care of me a lot. But when I first got my bike, I was going over to another dealership in San Antonio, and they would say, this is wrong with your bike. And then it would say it'd be something, for example, the clutch lever. And I'd be like, what's that? They'd be like, really? I'm like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No, I feel on that, man. It's like people see, I wouldn't even consider what I do with my Sportster's builds. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? They're more like modifications. I'm not a fucking mechanic. I'm not this and that. I'm not some like professional builder, which some people, I guess, think out there that I am for whatever reason. So they'll ask me questions and I'm like, dude, to be real with you, that sounds like something you need to go to a dealership or ask someone who's actually, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like doing that kind of stuff. But you know, when you've actually tested a product, you can give your feedback based off that. So that's kind of cool that you know, either direct them in the right way. I do the same thing, you know what I mean? I don't act like I fucking know it all, because once you do, that's when shit goes wrong.
Yeah, you're constantly learning, because I mean, you may know how to do something and someone knows a shortcut and you're like, dude, I never knew that. And then so you learn from someone who's just new to the game, and it's right. like, okay, you know, always stay humble and always continue learning, except that there's other ways to do it.
Exactly, man. Exactly. That's the only way to grow. Cool, man. So can I ask you what your first bike was? I don't know. Was the Dyna your first bike? And was it? Okay, yeah, cool.
First and ever.
And what year? And go over some like quick modifications on it that you've done. And Trask Performance, right? You got their exhaust on?
Yeah, dude. So pretty much I was actually almost into a Sportster 48. Then I was down in the valley where I'm from, South Texas. 956 represent for all those few people that are out there. and all of a sudden they didn't have it. I wanted one with ABS because I was new, and just me being overly cautious was like, you know, what happens if I need to lock up the brakes? You know, I want ABS. And they said, well, there's one, but it's all the way in Dallas. So, well, you know what? Let me just, I'll go check it out in person. And I was in Round Rock and I stopped off by one of the dealerships, and the girl had sent me a message, an email saying this, we have this, we can get it by this date. And at the end, and I always thought telling the story, she was just kind of like, is this the only bike you're looking at? And I said, well, it's the only one in my budget. And she goes, okay, well, let me work some numbers. And sure enough, I saw the Street Bob on their website. I was like, let's work with this one.
Right.
And that was it. That was destiny. And then so we fell in love. I took the bike. I didn't even ride it out because I'd just taken the class. Didn't know how to ride. Was nowhere near confident riding down 70 miles on the highway in Austin.
It's a big bike, dude.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, can y'all trailer to my house? And they're like, yeah, right. Dude. Longest day of my life for that thing to come to my house. I waited for like 8 in the morning. They delivered it in the last 30 minutes. And then so I got that. And then there was a big dude, Eldest Troy out of Canada. He was the first dude I saw on Instagram to where I saw his Dyna, loved it. I was like, that's goals right there. But I started slamming it at first. That's why I have somewhat knowledge on different aspects of parts was because I dumped so much. I pretty much wasted all my money into slamming the bike, doing all this stuff. And then when it came down to finally doing the bars, since I didn't know, I went to the dealership. I was like, hey, how much would it cost me to do these bars? And I think they were 18-inch Mad Dog bars. They were just sexy, like super Mexican, though. And so it's going to be like $900 with the kids. Like, oh, my gosh. Nope, done. And then that's when I started getting exposed to Unknown Industries and all the wheelies. And I was like, dude, that's wicked. I need to do that. And, I mean, I have an addictive personality, so I just dove straight first into it. I was like, dude, Dyna all, Dyna day, let's do it.
Right.
And just little by little kept on buying parts. Things didn't work out, or I found out I liked something better, and I just went from there. And then luckily, somehow I've been blessed with so many opportunities. And I want to say huge thanks to James over at Trask now. He was with Memphis Shades, as well as Trask Performance, and then, of course, Memphis Shades, and you got DP Brakes Racing, just for allotting me the opportunity to have met them at the dealer ride. And then Trask came on board as a sponsor for the bike, to where I'm running their exhaust and their air cleaner. And they also have their armor. I just can't run it with the crash guard. But, I mean, huge thanks, dude. Super thankful. I love that exhaust. Just killer, dude. Compared to Bassani. Bassani's still a great pipe, but the heat shield is the problem, to where they don't really sell it with the bike. They have a mini one, and to buy the longer one, I think it's like $80 or $100. And the pipe gets pretty hot.
With
the crash, it's gotten hot, but not as hot as the Bassani did sitting in traffic.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Megan and Nick over there at Trask Performance.
Hell yeah, dude.
They're out here in Phoenix, Arizona, for those wondering. Very, very cool, very supportive. I saw their assault intake, right?
Is that the assault series,
That's mean, man. I remember actually before going into Rebel Reaper and before this whole thing began, I remember seeing that assault bike that they had at a show, I think during Bike Week. I was just walking by and I was like, is that a fucking turbo? I was like, is that turbo on a motorcycle? Like, what? So, they're definitely cool people out there. And that's really nice, dude, that you guys have, like, some people that really support you and exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, that transitions into a little bit. Are you affiliated with, like, this Amazon thing? Like, what's all that about? Are you, like, sponsored at all? Or
by Amazon? No. It's actually funny because when I first started my whole motovlog career thing, adventure, was I applied to do that because I was like, you know what, let me try to make some extra cents on the dollar here and there to buy some bike parts. And the first time, I didn't even get approved. I had a probationary period that said, nah, dude, you ain't getting that kind of revenue or the traffic. You know, they 86 me out the boat. And I said, damn, okay, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
And so I licked my wounds, and I totally forgot about it. And so I reapplied for it just recently. And they said, hey, you're good. These are your Amazon links. So if you click on a link, it's – if you buy something, I get certain more cents on the dollar. I don't even know what it is. I just know I get some cents on the dollar. And then if you don't buy that product, but within 24 hours you buy something, say it's diapers or kitty litter – because that was the last thing someone bought was kitty litter. So I was like, all right, thank you.
Nice.
And so I'll get some sense of it all in that. But then it was also something where the bigger thing that's been kind of being thrown out is people are considering me as an influencer, which is the weirdest thing because I just see myself as a dude that likes to ride bikes. And, you know, I give honest opinion on products. Like if people say, hey, because that actually kind of happened with a product to where I was trying to mount it. It didn't work out. So I reached out to the company and they said, no, that does work. I said, well, it's not working. They said, well, we have photos on how to do it, but we don't have them on hand. So you don't have them. And so I put up a video of my experiences with mounting it and what steps you need to take in order for you to not be as frustrated as I was. And it was just stuff like that to where it's, you know, I give honest opinions all the time. If a company says, hey, we want to send this out to you, you know, for free or for whatever, we want to sponsor this, you know, just be sure and put in a good word. So I always tell them, hey, dude, I'll run it, but I'm going to give an honest opinion. I'm not going to straight up bash it. I'm going to review it as there are room for improvements such as this, you know, to where it's constructive criticism. But it's, I think that's one thing that I really pride myself in is, you know, not being bought out to where some people, they just want to increase their growth and make all this money. But I mean, you're kind of compromising yourself as a person. Like, oh yeah, dude, I'll be bought. Just give me free stuff. Nah, dude.
Yeah, there's no, like, integrity in that, too. Like, you know what I mean? So when you're giving an unbiased opinion on something, not only is someone going to respect you a hell of a lot more, but you're not doing anyone, like, this is how I look at it. So if someone's asking you a review on exhaust, and they're giving you an exhaust, and you just kiss their ass, and you say, oh, this is great, this is that, but you're not really giving honest feedback, not only are you not, you know, hurting the company, but you're hurting the community, too, because, you know, you could be letting other people down. So that's really cool. Like, that you actually do that and give that honest feedback. Like, I asked for honest feedback with clothing. That's the only way you learn and grow and get better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so exactly.
I think I remember one customer was just livid out of like all the customers we ever had. He was just like, what the fuck is this shit? And I was like, dude, I'm all ears. Let me know exactly what's wrong. Let's fix it.
Uh-huh.
We fixed it and now made a better product, dude. And I think that's how companies should look at it instead of getting all pissed and butthurt about it.
And that's what I think is so cool about you and as well as Rebel Reaper is, one, you're available. I think that's the biggest thing that speaks about a company is no matter how big you get, is you're still available. Like, it may take you a couple of days to respond because whether you're at a meeting, you're at an event to where you're trying to push your product there, you're trying to, you know, hey, this is who I am. So that way people can identify and associate who the face with the brand.
Right.
To where you always respond all the time. And I love that. And the fact that you stand behind your product, you wear it, you know, you're out the photo shoots, you're so involved and people love that.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
So I mean, I'll be 100%, dude, all the time.
Appreciate that, man. Yeah. And the first year, to be honest, with a lot of people may have not even known who I am or who behind the brand is. Cause to be honest with you, man, I looked at it like it's not even about me. You know what I mean? So I would have friends doing the photo shoots and whatnot. But once I started putting myself into the brand and my face and body and the people behind the scenes, like that's where I actually felt like it started actually growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and people can relate to a lot of the things that we say too, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So anyway, but moving on to the next one. So you're going to be at Born Free this year, 2018?
Bro, yes, dude. Oh,
that's the anticipated question or response I was hoping for.
I'm so excited. I have like a book until Born
Free. Are you riding your bike down there?
Dude, unfortunately not. That was the plan, but I couldn't
get a long ride.
Yeah, I mean, I was down for it, but something happened with work where I couldn't get all that time off. And so I'm just going to fly out, and then just as long as I'm there, that's the main thing, you know.
Yeah.
And then I want to fly back out for Dyna Days in September.
Right.
But yeah, dude, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the dude handing out spam cards saying, it's your boy, taking photos of everyone and anyone I recognize off Instagram. No shame in my game. Like, dude, I know you through Instagram, but whatever. We're going to take a photo.
Right. Yeah, I was actually out there last year. Mm-hmm. I think this was a little bit before Rebel Reaper even kind of became relevant. I mean, I still think we're trying to grow and stay humble and grow as much as we can. But when I was walking out there with stickers and a few t-shirts, handing them out to people, like, I know people wanted to come up and say hi, but it's like, dude, I'm a normal dude like you. Just come up and say what's up, bro. You get a fucking free t-shirt and some stickers. Like, I'm here for you, you know? So,
or they'll be like, hey, I saw you Born Free, but I didn't want to say, like, dude, you know, they come say
exactly.
Hi, dude.
Yeah, some people hit me up after, like, hey, bro, were you at Born? But that was before everyone kind of really knew my face, and you know what I mean?
Well, I do that even then, like, where it's like, hey, I think I know you. I think I follow – it's, like, the lamest thing ever. I think I follow you on Instagram. Like, who the hell are you? Oh, never mind, dude. Later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, man, just like, God, dude, we're all there for the same reason. We're all there to have fun and have an experience, you know what I mean? So
that's really what
it's all about. Cool, man. Well, I'll see you there at Born Free.
Oh, yeah.
Out there. I don't know if we're really going to have a booth this year, maybe next. We're looking into more events, mainly focusing on trying to build more products at the moment. So, anyway, so next question I got for you, what is the longest ride that you've done on your,
let's see, consecutively, I would have to say it was to Oklahoma, but there was one time I think it was
Texas,
yeah, San Antonio to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went there pretty much. I had a weekend off and I was like, dude, you know what? Let me go visit Theodore, the other dude from HDC. And this dude, Adrian, the local dude who's always down to ride, he was like, dude, I'm off that day. And I was like, are you really down to go to Oklahoma? He goes, yeah, dude, let's do it. And so this dude's gone on the most long distance rides with me ever. So it's like, he's like my BFF on a bike, dude. And we that was the longest I ever did. So I was so kind of hesitant and so glad that he did. Because, I mean, that's the longest I ever ridden. So I didn't know if my bike broke down, wouldn't know how to fix it. But I brought all the tools in case someone else knew how to fix it. And then we blasted up there. And it was about, I think, 900 miles overall. And then once we got there, we rode around some more.
Damn.
And so I think for that first day, I think we crushed. It was like 980 or close to 1,000 miles. And then the next day, that whole weekend just got pushed back after that because we were so tired. Woke up late. We had little festivities the night before. And then we blasted down to Dallas after that. And then rode around with Kyle, another dude from the HDC. and then we went down back to San Antonio.
Damn, man. That's a fucking ride, dude. Straight up, I mean, on my Sportster, trying to even ride half across the other town is like a pain in the ass, man. Literally, literally. But was anyone in your group like riding Sportster at all? Or
no, but we went to Galveston recently and my buddy's bike was down. So I let him borrow the Sportster and I think that's about 400 miles. And he went out there and then same day we went back. We do a lot of same day rides for some reason. I don't like, it's kind of annoying because we have to wake up early and then we're exhausted on the way back. But right. I mean, it's pretty cool because you get some of the cooler memories to where you're tired. You just lay down at a gas station for like 30 minutes, just laying down in the grass, just shooting the shit, saying stupid jokes, and it's just, mm-hmm. I love it. And then trying to get that 1,000-mile knuckle, or what do you call it, Iron Butt Challenge? That's cool. But I still don't know where to go, dude. I really want to hit Phoenix. I really want to go out there and be like, yo, what's up, Phoenix? What's
hey,
up,
man, you ever come out to Phoenix, you got a place to stay, dude. Yeah. So you're good. And, yeah, I definitely got to visit Texas, man. I've been saying that for a minute now, but I definitely think it's coming up in the next couple months.
Yeah, you got a big following here, man.
Yeah, I love it out there. Y'all are really supportive out in Texas, man. California, Arizona, not to drop names and whatnot. I mean, we got people all over the world, but definitely much love out there in Texas. So shout out to Albie out there, your boy Cody, you know, Jacob.
And then let me give a special shout out to the homies out in Houston, Knuckles TV and Salvadorian Boy. What's up, dudes?
Oh, yeah, Knuckles, those are my dudes, sure, right, man. That's what's up, man. That's cool. You guys all kind of have a good group. And that's really going to transition into my next question here. So you guys have pretty much a tight following out there as far as getting groups together and rides. And I don't know if you necessarily are the one that coordinate all those together. But basically my question is, like, how do you guys for people listening out there to the podcast, maybe you can give some insight on how you prepare a good ride, because you have a good amount of people that come out of your ride, like 10 plus people, which is a good amount. I've seen a good grip of people. So how would you give tips to other people out there? Maybe who are trying to get, you know, groups together with their friends and more people active in the community.
We've been super fortunate, and, you know, I want to thank each and every person whoever comes out to those rides, because Easter Sunday in Dallas, we thought it was going to be a small turnout, but I think we still had 15 people. And then they were like, hey, I got to break off after lunch because I got family stuff. Like, dude, huge thanks for coming out. And I think it was like 50 degrees that day too. So I was like, dude, no, you're good. You break off where you want. And that's the other thing is to where, pretty much to start off, is you got to not be so prideful to where if I see someone riding, I'll be like, hey, we're riding. Come on out with us. Even though I don't know who he is, he may just be like, nah, fuck that. Get away from me, dude. Like, I invited you, but whatever. Right. But pretty much I just invite everyone and anyone, and all bikes welcome. I know we have a lot of dinas that we still first started off and people are like, hey, our sporty is welcome. I'm like, dude, they're always welcome. And so just kind of breaking that barrier, because if they just see dinas, they assume it's all dinas. And you just have to, I created a Facebook group for it towards Sunday Rides SA/ATX for those in Central Texas. And it's just a general Facebook for general rides. And we also do farther rides like Lime Creek up in Round Rock. We do Three Sisters, to where those bigger rides, I set out a couple weeks in advance so people can plan, stuff like that. But for the most part, every Sunday, it's either going to be either local to San Antonio, New Braunfels, and their short rides just to go have lunch. And it's just staying on top of it, being friendly as you can. You're almost like an ambassador for riding, to where people reach out to you. And I always say, hey, are you hesitant to come on a group ride? Because that was me. When I first started riding, I said, hey, I want to ride. Take me out riding. People were like, nah, bro. Once you have 5,000 miles on your belt, come talk to me. How am I supposed to get 5,000 miles if I can't ride, dude? Like,
no shit.
I literally rode around my neighborhood for 1,000 miles in like 2 weeks, just doing right turns, left turns. And I was like, I don't want that to happen to someone else. So I said, if you're new to riding, come on out, dude. I'll go at your pace. We'll go slow. And then for those who want to ride the routes, I map them out so people know where they are and they can put them in Google Maps, ride it. And they know the stopping points. So that way, if they want to crush, like, say, Lime Creek, a lot of people like going fast on that. It's got a lot of blind turns, a lot of 15-mile-an-hour turns that go uphill, so it gets even sharper. And so the slower ones, I say, come on out. You'll learn how to navigate turns like that in a group. Some people have never ridden in a big group. And I always do, like, a pre-ride brief, like, kind of individually, like, either on Instagram, Facebook, or in person at the meet. And then I'll do a pre-ride as a group, like, hey, guys, this is the route. You know, this is what's going to happen. If you fall behind, don't worry, blah, 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 the usual pre-ride brief. And then after that, I ask him, like, hey, how'd you think? You know, how'd you like it? I get feedback. So that way it's like, hey, you know, you're going too fast or too slow. Okay, cool. You know, next time do this and that. So I welcome it. But it's pretty much just that. Just start a Facebook group. And then just if you see people out and about, like, hey, you know, this, we do rides every so and so, try to pick a date that's always constant. That way, if people just, because even though it's every Sunday, people say, hey, is there a ride this Sunday? Like, dude, every Sunday, whether it's planned, you know, we'll be cruising, just hit me up, you know, or like, hey, where's the ride this Sunday? And right. So people look forward to it. And I really like that. And some days there's just three of us. Like today, it was just three of us. A couple of people had other things. There's MotoGP and Handbill going on. But I mean, every Sunday, that way you at least have someone to ride with. And so that's pretty much how that started. Was just, I rode for myself for the longest time because the dude who I bought my bike with, he bought his a month before. And then we rode forever, and then he just really started – he started his own business, like a hotshot business. And so he's just committed to that. And he goes, hey, my bad, I've been riding. I said, nah, dude, you know, a real friend will support you. They're not going to be like, hey, quit your job and come ride, you know. So I was like, do that. If you ever want to ride, I'm here for you, dude. You know, let me know, and I'll cruise no matter what. And it's pretty much just like that. So I was like, I don't have anyone to ride with. People start saying, hey, where are you going this weekend? And I'd be like, hey, come on out. And just being friendly. And next thing you know, I started having people ride with all the time. And I love it.
That's cool, man. No, that's really, really admirable that you actually do that with the community. Because let's just be real, man. Like, of course, the freedom of you being able to ride your bike is the best feeling ever. You know, be able to get on your bike and just ride and go wherever you want, up the hills, down the hills, go camping, whatever. But there's a certain part when you're actually riding your bike where it's like, fuck, man, like I want to ride with some people and actually get a part of the community and go out to bike night and shake hands with people and have a beer and like just chill and kind of talk bikes, you know? So a good way of doing that is exactly what you're doing. So you can get more people in the community out there and riding and not only actually get that full on experience. Yeah. So that's really cool. Yeah, man. Really cool that you do that. So talk about some of the dealerships out there. You obviously green,
green,
right?
Green, like the color green. Yeah.
Green Harley Davidson. Yeah, I see they really support you out there, man. And I think that's really, really awesome. Oh, yeah. So how long you been like hanging around that
dealership? For a hot minute. But I guess real quick before we jump into that, what's going on with that Sunday Rides again is Richard and Jeff from Round Rock, they come on the, so it's pretty much an hour cruise for them to come down to Sunday Rides, but they do it. The 17 kickstand up, they're here, they leave like at 5:30, so props to them. But they came up with the idea to where, since we have such a good turnout for Sunday Rides, where once a month we identify or we kind of pick a charity, and even if it's just a food can drive, you know, blankets to the shelter, just so that way we can start contributing back. And so where it's, you know, yeah, moto community, we're all riding for fun, but you know, let's be thankful and give to the less fortunate. And so that's what I really like about the Sunday Rides is people get creative and they're like, hey, let's do something else, you know. So I really like that. So huge shout out to them. I always like to give thanks to people where, you know, kind of like for ideas. And so that's what we'll be doing pretty soon, once a month with Sunday Rides, is giving back to the community somehow.
Huge.
But as that's for awesome. The dealership, Green Harley Davidson, dude. Oh, they're doing the most. That they let me drink all their coffee. I'll go in there sometimes just to hang out, like before work. I'm like, what's up, dudes? And they're like, god damn it, Connor's here. All the coffee, and they helped me out so many times. Like, I've been there for I think maybe about a year and a half, kind of hanging around. Was pretty much bike night was the first night I showed up, and I would kind of hang around. They're like, hey, what's up, Connor? And they started, just even though I'm nobody, they were just like, hey, what's up? Oh, you know, recognizing your face, and you start feeling like family. Like, okay, hell yeah, I'll start fucking this dealership. They're super friendly. And then the one thing that really spoke a lot and moved mountains with me was, I think it was their first bike night I wasn't going to go to. I was like, yeah, but the weather was kind of like, I was like, no, last minute I said, fuck it, I'm going to go. I'm rolling out and they're doing a lot of construction on the highway. And then, so I get off on the exit and my bike was feeling kind of squirrely, but I thought it was like those little rudders whenever they cleared the concrete kind of thing. And so it's just that, and I get off on the highway and I'm at my exit trying to turn left to the street that goes to Green. And so I'm turning left, and all of a sudden my bike just starts getting real squirrely in the back. It's like, oh, so I let off the throttle. Okay, that was maybe a wet spot. Hit it again, and I just straight fishtailed. I was like, oh shit, the truck behind me is kind of honking. It's like, all right, something's wrong with my bike. And so I pull over in the turning lane in the middle of the divider or whatever. And I look, and my tire is completely off the wheel. And I was like, all right, dude, I don't know if I lost the beat or whatnot. And so it's already like 9 o'clock, and the bike night ended at, I think, 9:30. And so I call Andy over at Green. And I'm like, hey, do you my bike's down. He goes, dude, I got it. He sent someone over, trailered it, took it back to the dealership. And it had started raining at that point. So we're unloading it. I'm like, dude, I got it. And like, nah, dude, you know, we got you. Because they're off the clock at this point. And so they loaded it in there. And they said, dude, you know, first thing tomorrow, we'll take care of it. We'll put the tires on it. And I was like, dude, hell yeah. And ever since then, just, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. I'll give the Green 100%. I love doing promo videos for them because I pretty much just do it just because I love the dealership. And I love the events that they put on and how they're helping the community. Right. So, I mean, yeah, dude, I fuck with them hard, dude.
That's cool, man. What's the scene out there like as far as like hot rods and rat rods and all that kind of, you know, kind of stuff I'm into?
There's
I'm
actually a couple of events that go on, not quite as much as they do over there, but there's, I think I want to see it's the Hot Rod something that just happened. The Lone Star Rally. There's also that, but that's more motorcycles and hot rods out in Galveston in November. But there was one that just happened a month ago, and there's I want to say three total. And we also have a couple pinup girls that are just wifey material. That's the only reason I go out there and just be like, hey, what's up? I'm Connor. Remember me?
Like, hey, man, it just takes a few times showing up and showing face. I mean, that mustache, though.
I grew it back. People.
Hey, bro, he's still rocking.
I shaved it, and people were like, dude, bring that mustache back. And I was like, because I'm not even really a fan of it, but, you know, got to give people what they want, dude, mustache rides.
Hey, it's a signature thing for you, you know? Well, that's cool, man. I just had a question for you, and it slipped my mind. But, so, have you ever maybe, as far as, like, builds, have you done everything on your bike yourself, or do you actually bring it to Green and they hook you up?
I try to do it myself. When I first started, I pretty much took it all to the dealership, and then little by little, I was like, dude, this is a lot of money. I think after, like, the second thing, I was like, this is a whole lot of money, dude. And so I try to do it myself, some of the things, and sometimes I can't. I can't remember what it was I tried doing, but to where I'll just eat face, and I load it in the trailer, and it was like half assembled. I took the dealership, I just rolled it out. I was like, here you go, guys. Like, what the fuck is this? That's I tried it, but, you know, at least I saved myself an hour later. I remember the first time I did my exhaust, when I put the short shots on from Vance and Hines, I actually messed up. Like, it was an easy install. But first time tackling anything on my bike ever mechanically. And I forgot to put the O2 sensors. And I think it took me like 2.5 hours, 3 hours just to put the exhaust on. And then I was like, I was so stoked I did it myself. And so I'll attack stuff that I'm comfortable with. And if I'm not, I'll bribe a couple friends to come over and give them some beer and they'll help me out. And if it's too much to where they're not comfortable, kind of like on their bike, they'll mess with it. But someone else's bike, they may be like, hey, I'd rather not. Dude, 100% cool. Thanks for being honest. And I'll just shoot it on over to the dealership. Like, my bike is at the dealership right now. I'm getting the fork bearings done because they're notched. And I could do it myself, but I just feel I'm real impatient. I get real aggravated a lot, so I would make a shitty mechanic.
Dude, I'm so impatient, man. I'm telling you, man. Same. I'm actually about to bring my bike over to someone else because I pretty much tore the tranny apart the other day and was like, trying to get it because it wouldn't shift into second gear, and I'm pretty sure the shift paw is kind of like messed up. But
bring it over to Green, anyway, dude.
Yeah, there's certain points where I'm like, you know what, Matt, you can't fucking do it for yourself, all right? Like, my ego has to check myself and be like, all right, you can do 90% of this bike, but the other 10% you can't do shit, so bring it to someone who
exactly,
can, you know,
dude, exactly. Yeah,
but anyway, well. Let's see. I had another question here for you. So I already know what you're going to say, but the reason why I ask you is because people out there kind of get to know you a little bit and get a unbiased opinion. So what's your opinion on weekend warriors or weekend riders, I guess you should say, and people who go out there and crush.
I say,
like,
fuck the haters, bro. So, do you, boo-boo? Because, dude, I start off as a weekend warrior, and it's just the more you get into it, because this is what I'm really passionate about. I fucking love it. Because that's – the HD Collective is kind of started – I was talking with a couple of other motor vloggers. So we're continental. For those of y'all that aren't familiar, HD Collective, Team HDC, comprises of 7 riders, and we will eventually look to expand to where it's – some of us – like, you got Server and Chase – Chase kills it on the burnouts, dude. That dude's just an animal.
Shout out to Chase.
Hell yeah. Server kills it on wheelies. That dude's just super humble. I love that dude. I can't wait for Born Free. I'm going to be fucking with him heavy. Like, oh my God, you know, man crush Monday the whole time. You got Polygon John, you got Theo Freaking Door, you got Kyle, you got BX Polymath, and FX Dealers Brooklyn, to where not all of us stunt. You know, I'm learning, and I'm still on the very new base to where I'm, you know, I'll hit a little sketch spot, and I'll be like, I'll dump it. I'll be like, oh, dude, I'm done for the day. You know, like, I'm a fucking pussy. But, you know, I'm passionate about it. But to where, as long as you're out riding, and that's the big thing behind HD Collective, is just getting out and ride, to where you got the DFW Dyna crew that came from that, because Kyle made that group, and him and Paul, to where they got a huge gathering. They started bike nights on Tuesday nights over at Anvil Pub in Deep Ellum, to where they're getting a good sized group. I'm losing my voice. I get so passionate about this. But to where, yeah, dude, it doesn't matter whether you like to crush corners, you just like going up and down real fast the street, or you want to do stunts. The main thing is put in that fucking seat time. Like, just practice, dude. Right. Just whatever it is. If you want to crush corners like National Motors, Hard Night Choppers, to where they're getting hella sideways, scraping exhaust, dude, just practice that. You know, if it's the same street, just do it. Start off as a weekend warrior. Next thing you know, you're riding to work 3 days out of the week more than you used to. Next thing you know, you got rid of your car. You're just nothing but motorcycle. You're just doing 1,000 miles in a day. It's just start off somewhere and then just, you know, progress with it. And I think that's a perfect, you know, I'm going to lead into the monthly miles challenge. We had one in January and you were a part of it. And so huge thanks for that, dude. I mean, and yeah, also for the 25K giveaway, you were like, you had a lot of product. And dude, I mean, the dude just was stoked. And I love getting the photos of a younger gentleman. And I was like, what, dude? Hell yeah. He's got a sicker bike than I do. I think he's like 15. I was like, God damn it.
I saw that picture, man. That was really cool.
And sure, to where there's going to be another one coming up next month. And it's pretty much, it's open to all 50 states. And we're also going to include Canada. But there's going to be two winners. One from Canada and one from the United States. So everyone else in the U.S., you're going to have to compete with California, because El Royster, I think, crushed 2,600 miles, 2,400, something like that, in December or January when it was freezing. So, I mean, he'll probably crush even more than that in the summer months. But it's going to be some product from a couple sponsors and a green Harley Davidson hat and stuff like that. But it's pretty much just to promote riding, to where if you only ride on Saturdays, maybe you'll take your bike to work on Monday, ride it back. That's an extra 20 miles that you may not have ridden. And it's just getting people out, take photos. Because I take photos of my bike all the time. I mean, it's kind of like my wife. Oh, yeah. Hey, pose right here real quick. That's a beautiful picture. Done.
But it's different. Like, you actually, when you take take pictures of your stuff, it's actually quality, like, photos. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not just, like, some bullshit photos, you know? They're actually, like, good stuff you want to see. Yeah, so
it's pretty dope.
Definitely post on Saturday. Man, for sure. So, Weekend Warriors, obviously not a thing, but just the fact of actually getting out there and riding.
Yeah, that's the only time you can afford, because let's be real, dude. You know, a lot of people who ride all the time are either sponsored or they just love riding, like, to work and stuff. So there's times where it's, like, raining and shit. I'm like, dude, I ain't going to ride my bike, you know, because I don't trust anyone else on the street. So I'll cage it, you know.
Right.
But it's some people, that's where they can't. Like, they have a work truck that they go to and they crush. They do construction or whatever. So the people that are putting in the time at work to afford to ride, you know, they got their priorities straight. So huge shout out to those people, because it's like, you know, they could ride and just fuck around and dick off all day, but they, you know, they make the tough call, like, hey, you know, I got to take the car or whatever and then put in my time with the man to pay for my bike, stuff like that.
Yeah, big time for sure. Like, myself, actually, there was a point where I did that for a long time, and then I was like, man, I got these bikes just sitting in the garage. So for a few months, because, you know, the Arizona, it gets super hot out here during the summer. I was riding my bike for a very, very long time, and it was only me in the entire parking garage that was bringing my bike to work. And I'm like, dude. And then it started cooling down and more people started bringing their bikes out and whatnot. So yeah, but anyway, the reason why I love the bikes in the community, and I'm sure you can agree with that, is just there's a specific, I guess, bond, you can say. Like, you don't really have to say anything regardless of what you are on, because in my opinion, this is the same way as you. If you got two wheels, you obviously have the same interest as me. So it's willing to go up to you and have that conversation, talk about bikes. Doesn't matter if you're fucking riding, because my history is with street bikes. I got tuners, muscles, hot rods, all my stuff in the background. But now that currently it's about Harleys and stuff like that, it doesn't mean I'm not going to walk up to you and be like, dude, let's talk bikes if you're riding even a fucking moped or some shit. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, it's really hard to explain.
Well, I think it's also cool that with Instagram, social media kind of bringing people together was I just met NFJ Bastard from New Jersey, who was down for MotoGP. And he was like, hey, dude, you have a chance to meet up. And he came out to Handbuilt. And just you see each other, and you're like, ah, motherfucker, dude, what's up? And then you say, what's up? And that you also not where you don't identify people, but you see, you go to a bike show and you see their bikes. And you're like, hey, I know that bike. Like every time James is over at a show with Trask or something, he's pushing product or something. He sent me a photo of Lil Ricky's bike. I was like, hey, I know Lil Ricky's bike. I know whose bike that is. And it's like, you just identify like, hey, dude, that's so-and-so's bike. And so I think that's so awesome that, you know, you get motivation from people's builds. And then all of a sudden you start seeing them a lot on social media. I remember when I was in Las Vegas, Stank Boy Seeds came out from Las Vegas. And I was like, hey, I'm over here at the hotel. And I totally forgot he was coming. He shows up. And I'm like, oh, dude, what's up? And then all of a sudden, he just takes a video of my bike. And then I was like, okay, that's cool. And he goes, damn, dude, started like doing like a little voice caption where it's like Connor's bike in person. I was like, oh, dog, dude, my bike gets some love. Oh, I love my bike, dude. I love it.
The Connor talk. Bro, I'm not going to lie. I did a live video the other day and I was trying to talk in the Connor talk. And I just couldn't do it. I said, man, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to let Connor handle all that shit. You got that actual flow with the way you say it, though. You know? I can't duplicate it. Well, very cool, man. So I had a question, too. Obviously, you're based out there in Texas. You guys have a huge event that happens, I believe, every year called Giddy Up, right? Yeah, tell me about that.
There's a lot of firsts going on this year that I did not do the year before that. Pretty much, I was just like, I need this time off. If it ain't happening, I ain't coming into work, dog. So I went to Giddy Up. There's a lot of people that are going to be at Giddy Up from all over Texas. A lot of people were even from Virginia. And so a lot of people that are usually working when I'm off, like you got Phil, one of the techs over at Caliente, him and Jason, that they work all the time, but they also have their own chopper shop, that they just started, Saytown Cycles, and to where they showed up. I was like, dude, oh my God, what's up? I see you outside work. This is so dope. And I just get so excited seeing people and kind of, because all the people that I associate myself with, they're all positive-minded people. They're, you know, they're all working towards something. They're all hustling, and I love that. And so when I see them kind of growing their brand and their person, I get so excited just being there, their energy, and I love it. It just gets me excited. And so,
dude, you are who you surround yourself with. So that's true, man.
Yeah, dude.
So
keep going. But it's pretty much just choppers, builds. You got Dinos and FXRs, but it's mainly a chopper show. And you got the Giddy Up pre-party, which is a great event in and of itself. And you have Giddy Up itself, which is usually, I want to say it's the last Saturday of March. And then the next big show coming up May 6th is going to be Texas Hills. I want to say this is the second year it's in. The first year was pretty big. This one's going pretty big. You got Alex and Dustin, and I'm drawing – I think there's a third, so I apologize for drawing blank on your name, but you know who you are. Texas Hills Cycle Show is going to be at Albert's Ice House in Albert, Texas. I did not go last year, but I'm going this year, and I'm excited for that. But the chopper scene is here. It's just getting it into, I guess, the more public light. Because, like, the Dynas and FXRs, when I first started building my bike, I was like, oh, let's build the Dyna scene. And a lot of people were like, it's already here, dude. It's already here. But at the same time, they're all, like, everyone's in their own group in, like, cast, niche, whatever. I don't think niche is the right word, but I just threw it in there. To where, like, okay, you know, and that's the other thing with the Sunday rides is, you know, just saying it's open to everyone. So maybe someone in a different group is like, you know, let me go check out what these dudes were about. They come over. Some people don't like us. And like, all right, well, I ain't going to ride with y'all again. But that way it's trying to make all the groups into one big group where maybe one day out of the month or the week was just a giant ride. And so it's just stuff like that. I think it's just super dope. But Giddy Up, if you haven't been, dude, come out. Tons of beautiful women, tons of beautiful, amazing bikes and builds. It's just awesome. And Mr. Drive from the Drive Clothing. The huge dude. I think he used to be a bodybuilder. Massive beard. I was like, dude, I fanboyed. I was like, dog, my buddy Mark, he told me you're going to be out here. I found you. Oh.
That's awesome, dude.
I love these people.
That's really cool. The great thing about social media, though, is like, can you imagine back then in the fucking like olden days where, you know, you can go to an event, but you wouldn't even know who they are, but you kind of would. You know, but you don't know their personality, so you can't walk up to them and be like, hey, how are you and whatnot. Yeah. But the reason why I love social media is, and through these podcasts and all that kind of stuff, is you can see someone's personality. You know, you can see if they're approachable. Obviously, you are. So, if you know, people are out there and say what's up to you, I'm pretty sure you give them a hug or a handshake. So. Yeah, right? I don't get that, dude. You go to an event and everyone's just always looking so fucking hard, like they're just too cool to talk. But it's like, come on, man. You know, deep down, you're just a really cool guy and you want to chit chat.
Yeah, because I'm a fucking nerd, dude. I'm over here doing stupid dance moves and doing Connor kicks left and right.
No, man. The thing is, you got to have some personality out there. Because to be real, dude, if you only got no personality, you know, no one's gonna fuck with you for sure. But cool, man. Well, I'm really digging this podcast so far and where it's going. I love your attitude there to the community is just to get there and ride.
Yeah, dude. So. I mean, because it's like there's sometimes where because I also model it off this other like Facebook group that I'm a part of, but I don't meet the qualifications because I don't have a sport bike. But to where it's like they say, hey, I have a lunch break. I'm gonna be riding for an hour. I already ate, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna be over here at Lime Creek. And all of a sudden someone's like, hey, you know, I'm off today. Let's cruise. It's a little rip. Even if it's just for 30 minutes to where, you know, eventually build the community so big to where like the Sunday rides page eventually takes over itself to where I'm not the one do it all. Like, hey, well, there's a ride this Sunday here to where eventually it's like, hey, I'm riding. Right. Who's out riding? I'm going to go to this event. And then it's all of a sudden just takes over to where no matter what time of day of the week, you always find someone to ride. If it's like, hey, my girlfriend just broke up with me. Anyone got time to ride? Oh, we got you, dog, and come together as like a moto family.
Right. No, that's huge, man. And it's just it takes focusing on one person at a time to make them feel like they're an actual person. You know what I mean? To have them come out to an event, get to know them personally. And once you start building that trust and that loyalty with each other, then, dude, you want to fucking ride all the time. Honestly, I wish we had more of that out here in Arizona. I think we've done a couple Rebel Reaper rides. I think last one was back in October when it was tolerable to ride out. Last summer we did one, and I think there was about 10 or 12 of us. And dude, it was way too hot.
You got to do a margarita run. Just be like, all right, guys, we're doing a group ride to the bar down the street.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was fun, but, you know, that's why I wanted you to give those tips out there for people because – It's tough, man. It's tough trying to build up, you know, a good solid amount of people to ride because everyone has that judgmental feeling like, you know, oh, I have a Sportster. I can't go out there. They're all a bunch of Dynas or vice versa. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or they're a bunch of Choppers. It just doesn't matter. And I think trying to push that out more into the community that people should just get out there and ride is definitely a big
and I think it's cool like every once in a while you have exclusive rides to where it's like only Dynas or only FXRs because you're part of a club type thing to where like you're the only one with that bike, like Sportster rides or like there's the Distinguished Gentleman ride that happens, I can't remember the date, but it's like the same Sunday every so often. It's usually in September to where it's like mostly vintage style bikes for I want to say it's men cancer, but I don't know if it's testicular or something, but it's to where it's only vintage style bikes, stuff like that, to where it's exclusive. And if you want to ride, say, a Dyna or a Sportster in it, you can, but you'd be at the back unofficially. And you could also just meet at the restaurant that they meet at. So that way you're still a part of it. To where Sunday rides are usually just always welcome to everyone, anyone. Because one time for the sisters, we had someone, he was like, hey, is for all bikes, you know, all bikes welcome? I said, yeah, dude, why, what's up? Well, my buddy's got like an older style Honda, da da da. I was like, dude, bring it on out, dog. And he came out with his girlfriend, and they rode around, they enjoyed it. I was like, hell yeah, dude.
Dude, it kind of reminds me of this one time, actually, because I grew up in a couple cafe racers were like my first bikes that I've ever gotten and built worked on. So long story short, I had a couple cafe racers, and I sold them and then got my first Harley. So me and my buddy actually went out riding with our Harleys, and we came across a group of vintage, old-school cafe racers. Dude, these were like $10,000, $15,000, like, dumped crazy builds. And there's a van driving way in front of them with a professional camera, so they're obviously recording a video. So we pull up in our, like, we just full throttle catch up to them on the freeway, and two Harleys in the way back, and you got these really cool vintage cafes, and we just kind of cut through the middle of them, and we're like, what's up, guys? They're like, and they, dude, it's just weird, because I got that look by a couple of them, like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, get the hell out of our shot. So shout out to you guys, if you're listening
fucking
to
this for some reason. Yeah, the shot.
Yeah, hey, you fucking white guy. Get out of my shot, mate. My accents
I'm the same way. I'll do them regardless. So.
Yeah, there's a couple people on our live feeds that get a taste of that shit.
So. But I think one event that you should probably check out maybe next year because it just ended was handbuild. I think you'd enjoy it. It's lots of builds from local dudes to where there's some futuristic kind of builds. Like, I think there was one that had a winch on it that was – it looked like it was meant for the Antarctic if you wanted to forever two-wheel it on snow. Then there's choppers. There's some with surfboards. There's a lot of nice builds. So I think you'd enjoy it. So maybe next year, 2019, we'll catch you out there.
Dude, that would be fun, man. See, the thing is by the time all these events come up, there's got to be some kind of website or something that someone has out there that there's literally every single bike event that happens every single year. Because every time that a really cool, badass event comes up, I fucking find out 3 days after it happened, and I'm like, cool, you know? So definitely planning on next year to do a lot more events, traveling a lot
Canada,
more.
Canada, Renegade know. Riot, 2019, let's do it.
What's that about?
It was founded, I want to say, by Johanna. Oh. Johanna, if I'm saying your name incorrectly, I apologize. She's over in Canada. She's backed by Odin, and then it's a couple other people to where it's pretty much they meet at Toad Rock Campgrounds, and it's, I think, 2 or 3 day where they just get together. And it looks cool because you can find them at Renegade, I think, underscore Riot. But if you put Renegade Riot, you should find it on Instagram. But to where they have, like, kettle or keg races where you push it with your bike. They just overall good time. And then they sell out. I think they only sell a certain amount of tickets. But, it's in Toad Rock Campgrounds. It just looks awesome. Server was going to try to go this year.
They do dirt tracks up there? Yeah. All right. So, Cruzy, when we had him on the other podcast, he was talking about this shit. And, dude, when he got me talking about it and now you're talking about it,
I'm telling you, dude, because I'm already starting my budget for that because I want to ride up there. And then what ideally would be cool as fuck to have, you know, even if it's just 10 people, but ideally like 50 with a drone and an eagle, you know, fucking shit flying everywhere. And all of a sudden come across the border. Like, who the fuck are those? It's the fucking Americans. America. Fuck yeah. You know, it's just.
I'll have a big old boombox on the back of it and just blasting some hardcore.
I'm saying, dude, we're coming over on our fucking horses and shit.
Yeah, actually, I've seen a couple videos of people out there. I think there was the dirt drags where it was like just in the middle of a grass field, and then you have to chug a beer or something, and then just full throttle it, whip it around the trash can at the end of the route, and then race back. That just looks like a lot of fun. Yeah. Me doing my experiences with regular street tires on the dirt is not a good idea.
Mixing some alcohol.
Yeah, but I got to throw them dirt tires on. I'll probably do some work.
Fuck yeah.
But, cool, man. So that's pretty much all the questions I had. We're coming up to an hour now. I'm pretty sure we got some solid content out there for people. You know, is there anything else that you want to add to the end at all or throw in your hashtags and –
Oh, no, I mean, just pretty much just shout out to Matt, Rebel Reaper. You know, if you ain't following him already, be sure and give him a follow. Also, yeah, dude, fucking hit up Matt's Facebook, dude, because I'm a big proponent of podcasts and especially ones that kind of promote and kind of drive you to be a better person. If you're thinking about starting up a business, just fucking do it. But obviously with a good business sense, you know, don't just go ahead and just drop money into it. You know, think like, okay, what am I going to be pushing? What's my product? Because I followed the MF CEO, and that dude's just straight fire. Him and Joe Rogan and your podcast and a couple other ones. But to where it's just, you know, just the stuff that you put on Facebook is also pretty just like – it's like your podcast on a Facebook post, concise and just to the point, like, yo, dog. And just the overall progression, that how you include everyone in, like, hey, Rebel Reaper started this time. This time last year we were here. It's awesome to see this. And that you're always so thankful for the progression, for the people that – help you, because it's also like tying back into Instagram to where people see me as an influencer, and I've been blessed with the opportunity of several products and kind of sponsorships, and people are like, who the fuck is Connor, dude? He's only got like 5,000 followers. How the fuck did he get this?
Right.
It's because everyone else, if it wasn't for the people who buy your product or the people who support me and support you, it's just, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be anywhere. So it's
wouldn't be shit.
You know, huge thanks to everyone who just supports your local businesses, and, you know, just fucking get out and ride, buy Rebel Reaper, go just take out a loan and just look sick as fuck. Just swag out, dog.
Thank you so much, dude. That means a lot to me. Yeah. When this whole thing started, man, it was mainly the idea of, it was a lot bigger than just clothing, you know what I mean? And that's why this podcast, that's why I want to have people like you, some real genuine people who can actually give some good dishing back to the community and being thankful and humble about it. Dude, that's just what we're looking for. And that's really why we're so selective on who we have on the podcast. So I'm really glad to have you on, dude. So I really see some successful things for you in the future, dude. Really hope for the best for you. See you riding off into the sunset, you know, on with your Kana.
Yeah, boy. And also, if any single ladies want to jump on the back of my Dynasty, I got an application.
Hey, it's a big seat, man. So, you know, big girls need love too. Yeah. But no, not really. I don't know. Anyway, thanks for having me on, Connor. Appreciate you, dude. All right, brother. Talk to you soon, man.
All right, man, that's a wrap. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in on this one. Really excited for Connor and the future endeavors that he has planned out. You know, again, if you're listening to this in the month of May, if you guys participated in the Smash Miles challenge that he has going on, we actually participated that as one of the sponsors for it. So you guys could win some good solid gear from us as well as many other participants in that. You know, there's some great people that in this community that I feel that need that exposure, you know, and that's the reason why I do these, you know, do these podcasts with people. It's not just to fill in some blank space, you know, to have some kind of irrelevant shit out there. What I'm trying to do is trying to make a good, solid quality, you know, content for you guys in a different way. You know, obviously we have the Instagram, we got Facebook, we got all these other social platforms, but podcasting, we believe, it brings more of a personal side. So that's the whole goal and mission behind this, is to give you guys more of a voice to who these brands and companies and riders and stunt riders and people in the community of who they exactly are. So that way you guys can get a better perspective, you know, other than just looking and scrolling through Instagram and seeing a picture. You know, although a picture does say 1,000 words, I believe that also your voice can too. So that's why I want to have these people on. Really hope you guys enjoyed it, man. Like I said, Connor's a good dude. He's just out trying to help support the community, which is something that, again, we've both kind of bounced off each other. That is something that we feel is needed. You know, what's the point of going out there and riding if you don't have your boys and people actually you can go out and enjoy it with? You know, and it takes a lot of time and energy to coordinate rides and events like that. So the fact that he's out there doing that is, in my opinion, super cool. So go ahead and check out his YouTube channel again and also his Instagram at ConnorFXDB. You know, as we're putting out these podcasts weekly, again, we do the Mindset Monday kind of thing, is where I, Matt, personally go a little bit in depth about my side and where I've grown up, give you guys more of a perspective, maybe open your mind to different ideas and philosophies on how to think in life. You know, my whole point behind the Mondays is not to fucking tell you how to live your life or change that, because be honest with you, man, like if someone told me how to live my life, I'd just do the fucking opposite and not listen to them. So that's the whole point of the Mondays, is kind of to help you guys out, maybe to push through the entire week. Maybe you just need that little, you know, kind of help, I guess you could say. I don't really look at myself as like a motivational person or anything like that. I'm just, this is how I live and this is how I breathe and this is what I say and I've been saying for a very, very long time. You know, like I always say, you can log into my social medias from years ago and you can still see me saying the same shit today that I said back then. Guarantee that. So this isn't some new stuff that I just spit out for no fucking reason, man. I'm out here trying to make the world a better place, better than I came into it. And if that means helping at least just one person out there to help make a positive impact in their life, to do something about it, and, you know, and go out there and take charge of their life, to me, that means more than anything. So again, this whole point of this podcast, man, is to just give more of an in-depth side of us. Roddy is going to be back on a couple more podcasts coming up in the future. Trust me, guys, he's still here with us. You know, he's a big part of the brand and the marketing and all that. So he's the marketing director to help us out. And also he's the guy that's on these podcasts with me. So we'll be doing more interviews. Again, tune in every Monday for the Mindset. And every Friday, we'll be trying to dish out some interviews with people for you guys. That way you can get to know them a little bit better, like me. So don't forget to leave us a review at the end of this. If you had any questions, feel free to let us know. I think maybe in the next one, we're going to do maybe a little bit of a Q&A you know, I think that'd be kind of cool to answer you guys' questions that you might have. Yeah, so really stoked for the future, man. Thanks again, Connor, for taking the time today, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.